Why are you so upset about the lack of information since July 4th with Deep Impact?
Well, technically, it was July 3rd. It was late at night.
Well, July 3rd, July 4th. But why are you so hot to trot on this thing?
Because this is like a house of cards, Jim. I mean, George.
Well, there you go again.
That was deliberate.
That's right.
This is a house of cards. Or, as my old grandmother used to say, it's a big shawl with a piece of yarn sticking out. And you start pulling on the yarn to kind of make the edges even. And you pull, and suddenly, I mean, there's this wonderful promo on Sci-Fi Channel where there's a guy standing in front of a mirror, and he takes one hair and he starts pulling from the top of his head, you know, like we all do, you know, an eyebrow or something. And you watch the guy disappearing up the screen as he's pulling and pulling and pulling this one long hair. That's the NASA problem. Any piece of data that they're hiding from us is a potential piece of yarn, which if we pull on it long enough, the whole ball of wax will come clean. It will suddenly unravel. We'll figure out what they've been hiding and why they've been hiding it. And the Deep Impact mission is so incredibly blatant, because I got to tell you, George, in all my experience with NASA, going back not just 20 years, but going back almost to its beginnings, because remember, I was covering NASA when most of the people listening were not even born, practically. You know, I was with Cronkite, I was in museums, I was, you know, a NASA consultant myself. I have been following this agency like a hawk from day one. And I can tell you again, categorically, without fear of contradiction, they have never done with the public and the media and the taxpayers what they have done with the data from Deep Impact over the last 3 weeks. They have usually overindulged us with information, with photographs, with press kits, with briefings, et cetera, et cetera. There has been this incredible, deafening silence.
Well, that's true. You are right about that.
Deafening. And if you go to the website, for people out there who have computers, and we've been chronicling and cataloging this in the blogs I've been writing almost daily. I mean, the neat part about a blog is it's easy to do almost every day if you really want to do it.
Get it up there right away. It's
and we have. They have been recycling the same half dozen images that they showed us the night of the impact for the last 3 weeks. Now, never. I mean, NASA lives on public approbation and money from Congress, right?
They're now even, like, turning the pictures to make it look different.
That's right. They're rotating them 90 degrees and claiming they're new pictures, which, if, of course, you're not following the story, you would not recognize, but we do, and we've called it like we see it, and we have the evidence on the EnterpriseMission.com website. Just go read our daily blog.
Why do you think they're holding back information about this mission?
Well, the lesser of two evils, the lesser paradigm shift, the lesser revolution, is that comets are not, as NASA has been telling us for the last forever, dirty snowballs, primeval relics that didn't, you know, coalesce to form planets back when the solar system was forming. That's been the standard model, that we're looking at these Berge bits, these ice cubes with bits of dirt and dust and silicates thrown in, that are kind of like time capsules, and we're all supposed to go and land on a comet or bring a piece of a comet back or smash something into a comet, and with the observations, thereby prove how planets and solar systems form. Well, the alternative, of course, as we've been on the show talking about some many times with Tom Van Flandern, is that comets and asteroids are the same thing. They're bits and pieces, fragments of the exploded Planet 5 that, for reasons unknown, blew up about 65 million years ago, spraying the shrapnel all over the solar system, smashing into everything that we can see, leaving most of those craters that we see on all the worlds we've now visited, including the moon. And with the rest of the junk leaving the solar system, leaving a tiny residue still orbiting the sun in the asteroid belt, and as these comets that seem to come back into the solar inner system and be warmed by the sun.
Also wiped out the dinosaurs, then.
Wiped out the dinosaurs. Led to our being here. And that's a whole long, fascinating story. We don't have time to get into it tonight. If that scenario is real, it means that it is the dividing line between the solar system NASA's tried to pawn off on us, where it's basically dead, Jim. Remember, that was an old line from Star Trek.
Yes.
All over the solar system, it's dead. To one that it used to not be dead. It used to be alive. We used to have colonies and bases and cities and thriving populations of human beings in an earlier incarnation. Our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers owned the solar system. This was our incredible, wondrous experiment. And after, you know, you will know what hit the fan, we basically fled here, a tiny band of refugees, and have been struggling to keep alive and make a civilization work under extraordinarily difficult circumstances ever since.
We were lucky that we had the atmosphere, I guess, to survive, huh?
Well, the planet Earth was basically had enough of an atmosphere to, and was far enough away from the explosion, and had a moon to absorb most of the debris, so that we basically had an environment to come to and come to some level of technology and civilization again.